I'm speaking today with Sue Schechter, who is a candidate for county clerk in Harris County. Sue, the first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
I'm really excited about the office, and I'm running for it because there's so much that can be done there. This is an office that affects everybody, and people probably wonder, what is county clerk doing? Why do I care?
Well, you've anticipated my next question, so why don't you go right into that?
Okay. Sooner or later, you're going to probably be there. Either you might get a marriage license, you might buy or sell property, and you have to record the deed there. You might want to see who else owns property around you, and you want to go look at a deed there. You might have an abandoned building in your neighborhood, and you want to look at a deed there. You have an assumed name for business that goes through there. If you have a loved one that dies and you have to probate a will, this is the office of the clerk for the probate courts. County courts at law, smaller lawsuits, you might be there. And most importantly of all, which I hope everybody gets in contact with it because of this, it wins the elections in Harris County.
Right, and we're going to spend some time talking about that. But let's talk about some of the other functions first.
Okay.
What is your assessment of the current state of the county clerk? I mean, obviously, a lot of this stuff isn't very sexy, but as you say, it is very important. What is your assessment of the way that sort of business is being handled now, and where do you see opportunities for improvement, especially in the 21st century digital age?
That's one of the things that's so exciting about the office, because if you look at the website of the county clerk and then look at the website of the district clerk now that Lauren Jackson's been in office for a year, night and day difference. There's so much that can be done online. This could be such a user-friendly, online, high-tech office, and we're still in sort of a slow-mo, old-tech way. Example, the probate courts. If you file something there, either as if you've got an estate that you're probating or as a lawyer, when you file it takes 2 weeks for it to go to, quote, microfilm and then get to the court. Now, you look at the district clerk's office and you file a document, and you're probably going to have it online within the next few hours where you can look at it, review it, and so the court sees it too. But it's 2 weeks, give or take a few days, at the county clerk's office before you file it and it gets to the court's file.
And most of the document filings with the district clerk these days are all digital. It's paperless,
absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lawyers are using that website to look at their own files instead of keeping a paper file in their office. Isn't that amazing?
It is. Now, I mean, we're in tough budget times. That can be an expensive thing to do, to transfer, to move to that.
No, I think that Jackson has kind of paved the way to showing that this is a cost saver. This makes you more efficient. It makes you more transparent. It makes you more user-friendly. It cuts down all these people coming down there to get paper copies of everything. They can order online now and have it sent to. I mean, I think he's shown just the opposite.
Okay. All right, let's talk a little bit about the election stuff, since that tends to be where the county clerk's office is the most visible. One of the things that, the county clerk is responsible for, at least in some sense, is the early voting locations.
That's correct.
I live in City Council District H, and some people were, I think, a little surprised to realize during the special election that we had this past May that the early voting location at the multi-service center on West Gray wasn't open because it's not in the district. A lot of people are used to voting there. You look at a map of Harris County, you look at Inside the Loop, and that location is about all there is, west of downtown, Inside the Loop. So my question to you is, do you believe that there are enough early voting locations to serve the population where it is in Harris County?
Well, Charles, it's kind of an interesting area because as party chair, I did get one of the early voting locations moved. Because if I could look at it and see that turnout was obviously awful, and if turnout's awful, that means it must not be a very good location, because a lot of people do want to take advantage of early voting, but it's still got to be convenient. Right now, our system is loosely based in Harris County on one per state rep district, and maybe sometimes there's two if it's a huge state rep district, like in Sophronia Thompson's. And, of course, the county commissioners has to fund whatever is done also. And the county clerk has traditionally worked with the elected officials so that they don't move it and the elected official just comes unglued. and sometimes elected officials want it in a certain location because it benefits their chance for their voters to get there easier than someone else's voters. So there's so many factors that go into play that it's really, it's such an interesting area, and I find that really exciting, the thought of being able to look at these locations and see what does work for people and what would work better. You know, there's other options to add to early voting that we don't do in Harris County, like mobile voting. I kind of thought when I heard the term mobile voting, that was sort of like the blood van that would just kind of drive up and go, okay, we're here today, everybody run out to the truck and vote. But it actually, they do it in Travis County, and it's been so successful. You actually go to a physical location and set up, say you're at a senior center or a community center that's not close to any early voting location, and you know there's going to be a big event there that day, or a seminar or whatever, and a rotary meeting, and there's going to be a big crowd. You can go set up for that day and do a lot of PR ahead of time and say, hey, we're going to be at the community center out here from 7 to 7 on this day, and drive people to that location for just that day. I mean, there's a lot of things we can do to make it a lot more user-friendly.
Okay. A few years ago, as you know, Harris County adopted the eSlate voting machines, and there's always been some question about them from some people regarding their security and their reliability. What is your opinion of the eSlate machines, and do you believe that the electronic voting machines need to be changed in Harris County to produce a written receipt?
Talking about a paper trail.
Yes.
I think that, from what I've been researching, I think it's pretty universal across everywhere that everybody thinks the paper trail is more secure. Now, is that true? No. But we all have that perception that, quote, paper trail is going to make it a much more secure system. I think I'd like to approach it in a little bit different way. I think that when the community is more involved in what we're using, that people just have a better trust factor. If everybody understands how it's working and what makes it secure, I'd kind of like to hit that from two different areas. We're at Generation 1 of the voting machines. I was on the committee that helped pick out this machine. Vendors came to us and said, this is what our system does. Now, we all talked among ourselves and said, wouldn't it be nice if System X and had a little bit of System Y and a little bit of System Z, then it'd be great. But that was not an option. We were given a system that X, either take X or not. You don't get to mix in a little Y and a little Z. It's just, this is how it works. So I'd like to see us have a bipartisan community committee, just like we did that picked out those machines, that starts meeting now, is very proactive, and says, here's what we want in Harris County, because this is going to make us all have a huge trust factor in what we're using. Because we know vendors are back coming up with Generation 2 now. Just like the first phones that came out, they had things that didn't work so hot, so they were already on the drawing boards for the next one. Well, same thing with voting machines. These things don't last forever. They've got like a 10-year life expectancy. So we know it's coming down the pike. So being one of the biggest buyers in the country, I'd like us to have that same committee proactively working, saying, this is what we want when we look at a new system. All these things we found to be problems or whatever, this is what we want in a new system. In addition to that, I'd like to have a security committee of people that really are the tech people, the people that know why it works, the way it works, and what the security issues are. And that could sit and really kind of throw out ideas of, is our system safe? What would make us both safer? Could it be safer? Could it be more secure? And I'd like to have both those going on, because I think that this is a big investment by our community in a voting system. You know, we spent like $25 million on this thing.
Well, and I believe we got them, around the year 2002? If they have a 10-year lifespan, it's going to be coming up soon.
Right. We did. We tried it. Remember, the first time we did it, we had Ron Curtin, John Cornyn running for the United States Senate, and we had the glitch that came up they've been talking about now in Dallas, where people wanted to make sure they voted for Ron Kirk for the United States Senate, so they voted a straight Democratic ticket, and then they would go and hit his name at the end, which deselects the person you have their
right. And I mean, there's a lawsuit over that now.
Exactly.
And from my perspective, that all has always seemed like a matter of bad user interface. Like, if you're going to, you know, when that happens, it should be obvious to the voter. And perhaps it wasn't. I mean, you know, is that something you want to evaluate as well for the next round? I mean, would you want to do more user testing?
Yeah, absolutely, because that was in 2002. We knew that was a problem. It was huge that day because I was the party chair then, and people were calling in. And that all that does is ripple throughout the community that, you know, maybe these things don't work real well. And so how do you fix that instead of just ignoring it and saying, oh, it worked. I don't want to talk about that anymore. Let's move on. You know, why not involve the community? I mean, let's hear these problems. Let's see what would make people have a better perception of our system.
Okay. You know, something that I always find curious about voting machines or the way we do voting is ballot position. You know, you have a drawing to determine who appears for, especially in primaries or other elections where there's not. You know, was not a party differentiation. You know, is there any, you know, studies have shown that in that kind of election, you know, especially where there's not that much differentiation between the candidates, who's ever listed first tends to have an advantage. Is there any reason why in a day and age of electronic voting machines you couldn't have the thing programmed to just randomly mix up the ballot order for each person? I realize it's kind of a left field question.
I'm just laughing because I was with somebody last night that kept telling people number three for me, you know, because they really playing off the numbers because they thought there's a very significant position on the ballot. I don't know. I have to just. I don't know if it's statutorily required that you draw.
Okay.
I'd have to look at it before I would just say yes. Let's change that. I'd have to see. But yes, I did show up, spent my, you know, 2 hours there to draw my position on the primary ballot, and I didn't really care, you know, one or two.
Okay.
Not sure matters.
One reason why we have these electronic voting machines is a result of the Help America Vote Act, which was passed after the debacle of 2000, hanging Chad, so on and so forth. You know, looking at it after all these years, what's your assessment of HAVA, and how well do you think Harris County implements it?
I think it was all well intentioned, but I'm not sure that we've seen anything dramatically change as a result of that. And I want to go back a little bit to what we were talking about on the machines. I think that it could be a possibility too that we could have some federal legislation come down the pipe too in our 10-period life expectancy of our machines that will also impact what we buy and when we buy. I don't rule that out, that there could be something that came down from that commission that was looking at the voting machine saying, oh, everybody's going to have to move XYZ and we'd have to change too. And that's again why we need to be so proactive in this instead of just waiting and going, oh gosh, we got to change.
Okay. As you know, in 2008, there was some controversy in Harris County over voter registration and the way that was handled by the tax assessor's office. And there was a lawsuit that resulted. There's since been a settlement agreement. One of the things that was suggested during that time was that the voter registration function be taken out of the tax assessor's office and maybe put with the county clerk's office, which might seem to be a better fit. I don't know, but let me ask you, what is your opinion of that? Do you think that should stay where it is, or do you think that should be part of the county clerk's office?
I don't think it should be part of the county clerk's office, but I do think that it's probably time that we took these administrative offices of the district clerk, the county clerk, tax assessor, collector, and looked at who's doing what, and this isn't something you can just jump in and do tomorrow and go, okay, we're going to move all the stuff. I think it, again, to make all of our departments more efficient, more user-friendly, I think just like in private business, you would look at all these together and go, you know, maybe this fits better over here, and maybe this function would fit better over there. I was laughingly telling you when you came in as a lawyer, first thing I did was look at the county clerk's statutory origin? You know, who made this office and what they tell them they had to do? Because I was kind of curious, because I couldn't quite get a handle on these offices. All seem to be different county to county. And I couldn't find anything. I found some functions in the government code, but then I just started seeing it everywhere. And so I talked to the county clerk in Travis County and said, this is kind of a mess. I mean, how do you figure out exactly what the offices really has to do statutorily? And her response was is that the duties of this office are found in like 46 different codes. And the penal code and the civil procedure, and that most counties, no county seems to be the same. Every county does a little bit different. And she mentioned that in some of the counties they do have voter registration.
I believe Travis is that.
Yeah. So it's kind of, Dallas does an election administrator.
Yeah, I think Bear has that as well.
Right, which is an interesting concept. I mean, I don't, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's working well for Dallas, has for a while. And that's an office that's independent of district clerk, county clerk, tax assessor, and it runs the election.
Yeah, it is kind of strange, as you say. You know, I mean, I think the reason why the voter registration function is with the tax assessor's office is it goes back to the days of the poll tax.
Right. And I was going to say, the problem we have going on at our county in the administrative level is we do all these offices, we do it because it's always been done that way. And maybe it's time to really take a fresh look and just kind of get a feel for, I mean, I would think any private business at this point in time, after having done it for this length of time, would probably look at it with money. We know money is going to be shorter in the county budget and every budget next year because of property values. So maybe it's time to kind of look at what would be the most efficient way to do this and the taxpayers still have user-friendly offices that make sense to them.
Do you have, I mean, since you brought that up, I was going to ask anyway, but, you know, since the Commissioner's Court has been asking the different county departments to identify places to cut their budget, does anything stand out to you in the county clerk's office that is an opportunity for savings?
Not right off the top of my head. I've been looking at the budget, but it's kind of hard for me right now, looking from the outside in, trying to figure out exactly how that department's working. That's got a budget figure. It's a $34 million annual budget. 326 regular employees. I mean, there's not, doesn't appear to be great use of technology. So I think there's going to be some ways to get more efficient there.
Well, I mean, it's not just all the regular employees. The elections themselves can't function without a whole bunch of volunteers, essentially.
Right.
Is that a sustainable system? And if so, how do you keep it going?
Oh, Charles, as party chair, I can tell you, getting election judges was always just a very difficult thing to do. Very. It used to be that people just did it out of civic duty, and now people just don't have time to do that. People can't take off from their jobs. They just can't.
And so what you wind up with is a lot of retirees who may not be that comfortable with the technology that we're
exactly.
asking them to monitor.
Right. So we're sort of in a catch-22. And young people really aren't just blocking out to be election judges. And that comes down to, you know, how are we going to, that's another topic we need to be proactive on. You know, how are we going to keep people there running elections? Are we going to be able to continue to have 800 precincts and, you know, 600 of them with polling locations? I mean, what are we going to do as we move along?
Well, some places with varying results have tried the concept of using voting centers, which is to say like early voting locations, on election day itself. So on election day, you would go to any one of the early voting locations just as you would have during early voting. What do you think about that?
Well, that's been done in some counties right now in Texas. I think it's working pretty well for them. Would it work on the size of a place like Houston? I don't know. It's something we really have to put on the table because that's just the facts. It's been difficult to get election judges for a while. And that just brings up a whole can of worms. I've had precinct chairs talk to me about why they had to go to training. The precinct chair came up to me and said, you know, I could build this machine. You know, why do I have to keep going to training every time? And then you have others who want to go but have a bad location to get to it. you know, they can't get there at night because it's too far from them. I mean, there's just, and when I was a state rep, when I was a county chair, I'm just a firm believer that we all pay taxes. It's all services for us. And so all of us have to be at the table to decide what we're going to do next. One person can't know the solution to all these problems, but the people who are actually involved in those issues, you can sit them at a table and they can come up with some pretty good ideas. But you've got to be asking and you've got to be ready to make some changes.
Okay. Just to wrap this up, you have an opponent in the Democratic primary mm-hmm. for county clerk. Mm-hmm. When people go to vote, why should they vote for you?
The biggest reason, and by the way, my opponent is a very, very nice woman we've met, good Democrat. I think it's just my background. I am a lawyer. I've worked in the court system, so I know what the lawyers are needing from the court system. As a state rep, I've seen how the laws are passed and passed some of them that deal with this office, and know that if there are changes that have to be made statutorily, I know how to go do that in Austin. And then as a party chair, ran the primary election, was involved in the November elections, was there when we picked up a new voting system. Just kind of seen all the functions that this office does. And as a parent at my daughter's high school, I went and researched the real property records trying to figure out what to do about some blighted, abandoned homes in her near her high school. So I know the system, I know the office, and I think my background just makes me the best qualified to be the county clerk.
Okay, Sue Schechter, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.